You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome. In the celebratory din that followed last year's report by Oxford Economics that India is now home to all 10 of the fastest growing cities in the world, a few questions remained largely undressed. What constitutes urban growth? Is it synonymous with development? What about sustainability? Beyond the headlines, how do the denizens of these fast-growing cities cope? On this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control, we will try to answer just some of those questions. Which are the fastest-growing cities in the world? Which are the most powerful cities in the world? And how do these things tally up with the question of sustainability? The basic question we're asking, how sustainable are India's urban engines? My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Digging Deeper with Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Let's start with some definitions as usual. How do we define urban growth? Urban growth is defined as the rate at which the population of an urban area increases. It also occurs when the expansion of a metropolitan or suburban area into the surrounding environment takes place and may lead to a rise in the economic development. Urban growth can be considered an indicator of the state of a country's economic condition because the growth of metropolitan areas generates employment, stimulates transport and communication and educational facilities, and also, in the process, improves standards of living. Urbanization, as is obvious in India's context, is usually caused by the movement of people from rural areas to urban areas. Before we get down to talking about the challenges of urban growth, let's take another look at the research by Oxford Economics that all the top 10 fastest growing cities by GDP between 2019 and 2035 will be in India. A piece on the World Economic Forum website cites the report to state that Surat, the diamond processing and trading center, will have the fastest economic growth in the world. The report predicts that the city will see an average annual GDP growth rate of 9.2% from 2019 to 2035. In second place is Agra, home of the Taj Mahal, which will grow by 8.6% year on year. Bangalore, known as India's Silicon Valley because of its booming tech and startup scene, will grow by a whopping 8.5% year on year by 2035, putting it in third place. Hyderabad, another Indian tech hub, is in the fourth place with 8.47% growth. Nagpur, an emerging metropolis with more than 22,000 MSMEs. Tirupur, India's knitwear industry hub, which is where all your t-shirts come from. Rajkot, the fourth largest city in Gujarat. Tiruchirappalli, an industrial city in Tamil Nadu. Chennai, the capital city of Tamil Nadu, recently in the news because of no water there. Vijayawada, the second largest city and an important metropolitan hub of Andhra Pradesh, are the other cities in the list. The study looked at 780 cities and estimated that the world's major urban economies will grow by 2.8% a year. The point of the report being that cities will drive the growth of global economy. Does this list indicate that now economic prowess will tip from the west to the east, considering that the report also forecasts that as early as 2027, the combined GDP of all Asian cities will exceed that of North American and European cities together? Maybe. But will the going be rough or will it be a cakewalk? Will this expansion of the urban areas in Asia also come with cognizance of the challenges that these cities will face, especially in the way to keep the growth sustainable? Let's first start with the unemployment challenge. Planning Tank, in a piece earlier this year, talks about the challenges of growing economies, growing urban economies specifically. Inadequate employment opportunities in the urban informal sector, urban unemployment in general, and underemployment are some of the inherent issues that any expanding city could face. As multiple media platforms have already reported, as did the Hindu data team in April this year, the draft periodic labor force survey, that is a PLFS data, has revealed a drastic increase in the number of unemployed people in India. A comparison of the employment to population ratio, that is EPR, in rural versus urban areas shows significant variations. Rural EPR came down relatively more in 2017-2018 compared to urban EPR, according to the PLFS data accessed by The Hindu. This means that by default, there will be more pressure on urban areas to provide employment to the inflow of rural migrants. In May 2019, India Today reported, along with many other media outlets, that unemployment in the country is at a four-decade high. The government initially refused it, but later came around to saying, yes, that is true. The figures released after a long delay by the Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation, that is MOSPI, pegged joblessness at 6.1%, the highest in 45 years. Sure, the cities in India are growing. 10 of the fastest growing cities in the world are in India, but so is unemployment. What's happening? Unemployment is, of course, on the rise, and we need to tackle it as best as we can. But what else is something that is accompanying this expanding growth of cities? As we've only recently seen in Chennai, it is the dwindling of resources, specifically water. The water crisis in many metropolitan cities in India has shown us the perils of urbanization without sustainability. A non-profit organization called thewaterproject.org has also reported on the issue and stated that though India has taken significant steps to reduce poverty, the number of people who live in poverty is still highly disproportionate to the number of people who are middle income, with a combined rate of over 52% of both rural and urban poor. The Water Project goes on to say in a piece, and I quote, "Although India has made improvements over the past decades to both the availability and quality of municipal drinking water systems, its large population has stressed planned water resources and rural areas are left out. In addition, rapid growth in India's urban areas has stretched government solutions, which have been compromised by over-privatization. Regardless of improvements to drinking water, many other water sources are contaminated with both bio and chemical pollutants, and over 21% of the country's diseases are water-related. Furthermore, only 33% of the country has access to traditional sanitation." Unquote. The piece expresses the concern that India may lack overall long-term availability of replenishable water resources. Writer Shannon Snyder informs that while India's aquifers are currently associated with replenishing sources, the country is also a major grain producer with a great need for water to support the commodity. As with all countries with large agricultural outputs, excess water consumption for food production depletes the overall water table. She says, and I quote, "Many rural communities in India who are situated on the outskirts of urban sprawl also have little choice but to drill wells to access groundwater sources. However, any water system adds to the overall depletion of water. There is no easy answer for India, which must tap into water sources for food and human sustenance, but India's overall water availability is running dry." Unquote. Her report attributes India's water crisis to lack of government planning, increased corporate privatization, industrial and human waste, and corruption. She went on to add, and I quote, "In addition, water scarcity in India is expected to worsen as the overall population is expected to increase to 1.6 billion by year 2050. To that end, global water scarcity is expected to become a leading cause of national political conflict in the future, and the prognosis for India is no different. Whatever the means, India needs solutions now. Children in 100 million homes in the country lack water, and one out of every two children is malnourished. Environmental justice needs to be restored to India so that families can raise their children with dignity, and providing water to communities is one such way to best ensure that chance." Unquote. She points out that on a positive note, some areas of India are fortunate to have a relatively wet climate, even in the most arid regions. She does, however, add that with no rain catchment programs in place, most of the water is displaced or dried up instead of being used. India is, of course, a land of extremes. Even as I speak, there are floods raging in places like Assam and Bihar, and there are places with less than expected rainfall. The rainfall this monsoon is going to be 20% less than normal, is what the IMD has said. And despite these pretty recurrent problems, we don't really have any programs in place to make sure that the rainwater is harvested. As she says correctly, parched urban areas could benefit vastly if rain harvesting can be mainstreamed and improved filtration practices can be used to reduce waterborne pathogens and made available for human consumption. If water and the availability or the lack thereof is the biggest problem that the expanding cities of India face, there is also the other big problem that we all know and endure each day. Infrastructure, or the lack of it. The Planning Tank piece also outlines that another challenge that modern cities face is the inability of social and physical infrastructure to grow at par with the urban growth, resulting in deterioration of the quality of urban life. These problems are visible in most of the cities in India. Quoting from the Planning Tank, urbanization can yield positive effects if it takes place up to a desirable limit. Extensive urbanization or indiscriminate growth of cities may result in adverse effects like the problem of overpopulation, the growth of slums, the lack of availability of resources like water, etc. The cost of living spirals along with the increase in crime rates, pollution, and stress levels. Healthy economic development generally refers to the sustained, concerted actions of policymakers and communities that promote the standard of living and economic health of a specific area. Quoting from the Planning Tank, economic development can also be referred to as the quantitative and qualitative changes in the economy. Such actions can involve multiple areas, including development of human capital, critical infrastructure, regional competitiveness, environmental sustainability, social inclusion, health, safety, literacy, and other initiatives. Unquote. And Indian cities will need to meet sustainability and social equity standards if they are to remain habitable for citizens across the economic and social spectrum. Let us now explore what some of those cities across the world are that meet these standards and how India could learn a lesson or two from these cities. In January 2019, Sean Fleming reported on the World Economic Forum website that London still tops the Global Power City Index, that is GPCI, for the seventh year running. The piece cites the report of the Mori Memorial Foundation's Institute for Urban Strategies, which has analyzed the relative strengths and weaknesses of 44 of the world's best known and best loved cities. The foundation's researchers look at their ability to attract capital, businesses, and people, what it refers to as the city's magnetism. Quoting from that piece, the six factors scrutinized are economy, research and development, cultural interaction, livability, environment, and accessibility. These six are, in turn, broken down into 70 different indicators which are all given a score. The cumulative score gives the institute its final rankings. The maximum possible score is 2,600 points. Cities that strive to provide an attractive and welcoming urban environment for their people will be best poised to succeed as global power cities. The 2018 top five remains unchanged from last year: London, New York, Tokyo, Paris, and Singapore. Interestingly, since last year, Beijing has fallen from 13th to 23rd in rankings due to weaker performance in the accessibility measure, which looks at a city's connectedness and transport networks. Not helping? Well, the air pollution in Beijing. Meanwhile, Shanghai fell from 15th to 26th. This was due to a reduced score for its economy. And what about one of the other factors within those six factors that I spoke about? Sustainability. In a piece from earlier this year in January, worldatlas.com explained what qualifies cities as sustainable. Sustainable cities work towards creating environmentally, economically, and socially resilient surroundings for their citizens without compromising the needs of the future generation to thrive in the same environment. Greenery can be a major contributor to a city's environmental atmosphere and sustainability. According to the Sustainable Cities Index, sustainable cities can be evaluated on three parameters that can be summed up as such, and I'm going to cite them with only minor edits. It's going to be three P's: profit, people, planet. Profit, the profit factor, measures the value of real estate and the ease of starting and running businesses, a metric that the current government is truly obsessed with, that is the ease of doing business. The second factor in the Sustainable Cities Index is people. The People Index focuses on the living standard of the people, literacy, education, and health. The third P is the planet. The planet factor focuses on transportation, water, sanitation, air pollution, and carbon emission, among other factors. Among the most sustainable cities is Frankfurt, in the 10th place, where 52% of the city is covered by open green spaces like water bodies, woodlands and parks. The local government has a concrete plan for nature and water conservation, energy efficiency and climate protection. The city plans to be 100% dependent on renewable energy sources by 2050 and reduce the carbon emission by 50% by 2030. On that list, we have Hong Kong in the 9th place. Diverse economy, large, efficient public transit system. It all means that the locals do not need access to a vehicle. Number 8, Oslo in Norway, which is the capital and the largest city in Norway and is a leading city in terms of sustainability thanks to the plan they have called City of the Future, through which there is focus on cutting down on carbon emissions and waste. The Oslo airport is home to a green terminal, which is the first of its kind in the world. So, we had 10, Frankfurt, 9, Hong Kong, 8, Oslo, number 7, Munich. It has a concrete strategy again for climate protection and nature and water conservation. Quoting from that piece, Munich is the economic powerhouse of Germany, which hosts most of the major industrial powers who relocated to Munich after the Second World War. Munich targets to be using 100% clean electricity by 2025. To protect the climate, Munich targets to reduce carbon emission by 10% every 5 years and become carbon neutral in 2050. Zurich in Switzerland is in position number 6. Sustainable transport system, investments in efficient and renewable energies mark the reasons why number 6 for Zurich. It also wants everyone using 2000 watts of green energy by 2050. Number 5, Vienna. One of those cities consistently ranked among the most livable cities in the world. It has a comprehensive climate protection strategy, sustainable business, sustainable procurement, and recycling of bottles. It is also the first city in the world to have a fleet of electric-powered buses throughout the central city, which reduce carbon emission while improving citizens' standard of living. These buses recharge at the bus terminal, ensuring that they run efficiently all day long. Number 4, Singapore. With numerous water management innovations, including saltwater desalination, recycling of reclaimed water, rainwater catchment methods, etc., the city has eco-friendly transport regulations which discourage unnecessary vehicle ownership. To lower carbon emission in the city, the BCA, that is the Building and Construction Authority in Singapore, has set up many green living standards which every building in the city must adhere to since 2005. The Zero Energy Building is the greenest in the country and a test subject for future building designs. Edinburgh, which is the second largest city in Scotland, is at position number 3 of these sustainable cities in the world list. It enjoys a low crime rate and a relatively small income gap. Stockholm in Sweden is in position number 2 and ranks first in the European Union in organic food consumption, usage of renewable energy, and recycling of bottles and cans. Quoting from the piece which ranked Stockholm number 2, Stockholm is recognized for its numerous innovative urban sustainability goals and visions, which include becoming 100% fossil fuel free by the end of 2050. The city is known for increasing their GDP growth while lowering carbon dioxide emissions. And number 1 is London, a great example of a sustainable metropolis. And the city is huge, almost as comparable to one of the great cities of our own country. Quoting from the piece that crowned it number 1, in 2003, London introduced taxes on vehicles entering the central city during the weekends as a means of discouraging the overcrowding of cars. The collected revenue funds public transportation and related infrastructure. The local government has implemented numerous strategies, including an air quality plan, noise reduction and waste recycling, among other policies. The city has adopted diesel electric buses, which operate throughout the city to reduce carbon emission. These buses reduce carbon emissions by 40%, which helps the city achieve its goal of 60% greenhouse gases reduction by 2025. So, these are the 10 most sustainable cities as far as this particular report is concerned. That is the Sustainable Cities Index. What are the learnings we can take from them? We've been to all of these cities. Well, at least people who do travel have seen a few of these cities and have enjoyed what these cities have to offer. Why can't we replicate these in Indian cities? That's what we'll conclude with. When it comes to Indian cities, it would be important to refer to Down to Earth, which is Asia's premier fortnightly on politics of environment and development, assisted by the CSE, that is the Center for Science and Environment, and helmed by environmentalist Sunita Narayan. Down to Earth says that though the world's economy will continue to be propelled by cities, and much of that push will come from Asia, particularly India, there is a downside. With growing economies will come more migrants, and this in turn, as I've said before, will pressure already scarce resources such as land and water. More inhabitants will require more energy, adding to the carbon footprint of these cities. The report cites Mumbai as the 10th most populated city in 2035 with 23.1 million people. The report also reminds us that the once quaint garrison town of Bangalore is now bursting at its seams. Its famous lakes now regularly make the headlines for frothing with fire. Delhi, as is well known, is battling air pollution and plunging groundwater levels, much like Bangalore, while Mumbai has to deal with excessive rainfall. Rapid urbanization is also expected to stress Kolkata further. As the report warns, overall, while the prospects of economic growth predicted by the report may be exciting for a large section, the need for careful urban planning to mitigate further future woes cannot be ruled out. The question to ask is, will the powers that be in India heed these words and recalibrate their economic agenda for the country to include sustainable environmental policies? Or, if we are looking at more futures and more summers like the ones we saw in Chennai? It's not going to be just Chennai, it's going to be most cities in the country where even something as fundamental as water might be scarce to the citizens of the country.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.